Welcome to the Improv in Practice podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Wilson, bringing you interviews, inspiration, and information on improvised theater with Synergy Theater. You can find Synergy Theater's classes, workshops, performances, and more at synergytheater.com. That's S-Y-N-E-R-G-Y theater.com. Okay, lights down, curtain up. Hello, improvisers and wizards, rogues, warriors, and more. Synergy Theater's Dungeons & Dragons begins April 3rd, 2025, and runs through April 13th, Thursdays through Sundays, at the Lesher Center for the Arts in Walnut Creek. Don't be left out of the epic adventure. Get your tickets now. Coming up, we sit down with Adrian Bosada, creator and director of Improvised D&D, and Adam Ledemian, Synergy Theater player and actor and writer. We talk about the show, and Val and I get the answers to the questions that you would ask if you had the chance. You can find more about Adrian and Adam on Synergy Theater's website. Just click on About Us. Okay, on to the interview. Oh, my goodness. We made it. Val, myself, Adam, and Adrian, all in the same, in quotes, room, Zoom room, together. I am so, so happy to be here with y'all. Adrian, I'd like to dive right in and start with you. Because
sure.
I hear that this idea for Dungeons & Dragons, an improvised adventure, was your idea. And when I heard this, I was like, oh my goodness, why hasn't Synergy Theater done this before?
Yes, it was certainly my idea, but I will tell you that it actually came out as a joke at first. I was talking with Ken, and not necessarily a joke, more of just a passing thought that didn't really have any weight behind it. And maybe about a week or two after I made that joke, Ken pulled me aside and he said, hey, you mentioned that you would love to do a D&D show or to direct a D&D show. Were you being serious? And I said, well, not really, but I would love to. So
in that moment, were you like, oh, crap?
Part of me, yes, because it would be my first time directing.
Oh, I can't believe that, Adrian. We've had you on the show before and we spoke about your background, and suffice it to say that you have an incredibly diverse and dynamic background in performance. And when I connected these, oh my gosh, Adrian, and oh my gosh, D&D, and oh my gosh, improvised theater, I had a storm of questions and thoughts just explode in my brain. And then I was like, okay, if I was going to picture or pick a D&D role for Adrian and for Adam and for Val, what would those roles be? I'll tell you what I came up with for you, Adrian, first.
Okay.
And it was the first thought that came to my head, so I had to go with it, right? It's the golden rule.
Yes.
Monster.
Now, yes.
Right. I know I have all these classes to choose from. Mage, also warrior, and there's others, right? Healer. But because I'm familiar with how hard you work and how skilled you are at manipulating your body and your voice in your characters, and you really stand out in that way, that was my thought. An incredible monster boss or dragon or any of those. So please tell me about how you first were introduced to Dungeons and Dragons. And in that moment where you made that joke, I don't know if you believe in destiny or not. I don't know that I do. But something from your background and your future collided in that moment.
Yeah, certainly. When it comes to D&D, I was introduced to it through just popular media. The show Stranger Things.
Yes.
Stranger Things has a subtle mention of D&D. And it reminded me that this thing existed. And of course, I knew that it existed before, but it didn't really put it in the forefront of my mind until then. And during that time, I was also hanging out virtually with a group of friends that used to live here that now live in Mexico. And actually, some of them live in the East Coast of the U.S. and so on. We hung out to write little skits and to at some point maybe record them. But one of the things that ended up happening is one of my friends in this group started watching a group of voice actors that are very popular that are called Critical Role, and was like, why don't we try that? Why don't we try D&D? I've never done it and you've never done it. And that's what we did. We got together and started playing D&D online with each other. Him and I became the game masters. We had no idea what we were doing. And the rest is history.
Have you played in person as a game master?
Yes, in fact, I am now playing in person with none other than Adam, who is on the call,
Oh,
and another group of friends.
I am jealous because I am very familiar with the premise, but I'm only somewhat familiar with the actual physical person-to-person sitting around a table game, and I'm going to find one. I am overdue. As I understand it, this game was developed by a bunch of dudes in 1974 and has just gone through different iterations and it has evolved and now has a very diverse and huge fan group, fan base. Okay, Adrian, so you're playing it with friends and you must have liked it.
I loved it. It really combined two of my passions that I've had for a while. One is improv, because the game itself requires a lot of improvisation. And the other thing is nerdy fantasy stories. I immediately fell in love with it and continued playing it. In fact, I have been playing Dungeons and Dragons almost weekly nonstop for like 3 years, maybe four. That's become a huge part of my life.
Oh, wow. Now, this is something about you that Val and I didn't know. We're always interested in finding out what influences the Synergy Theater players pull from in their work on stage and as a performer. Now, Adam, the first thought that came into my head as far as what role I would pick for you is a mage.
I like that. That's fun.
Have you played Dungeons and Dragons?
Yes, I started playing Dungeons and Dragons really very recently, though. Similar to Adrian, I'd heard about it kind of all throughout my life, and it seemed to have all of the things I would enjoy in a single thing. The fantasy, the storytelling, the playing make-believe with each other, but I never quite got the chance to jump into it until just a couple of years ago when I was living in DC. Couple of friends and I started a campaign. That was really fun. That went for a while, and then I moved out here and it faded away. So I was really excited and lucky when Adrian started talking to me about this idea for a campaign that he had, and all of a sudden I got to jump into a whole new story, and it's been so much fun.
That sounds like an amazing experience. What role did you pick for yourself?
In our current D&D campaign, I am Lyndon Grant, who is a fairy who was raised in the Fae plane of existence, but then got kicked out by an evil sorcerer and was found and raised by a community of giants. And so, because I lived most of my young life surrounded by giants, I got this very inflated sense of my size in reality. Like, as a fairy, I'm maybe 12 inches tall, but I walk around feeling I'm a minimum of 10 feet. So I'll just kind of fly at eye level. And that's been a fun character to play so far.
Oh, I wish I could meet this character. And how much of the backstory did you develop prior to playing, as opposed to how much did you develop as you were playing?
A lot of the character creation does get done prior to when you first start. So it starts by the game master giving us the lay of the land, the history of the world, some of the mythology that's specific to our campaign. And then the players go off into their own world and create their. You have to prepare your character sheet, which includes a whole bunch of mechanical game things like figuring out your various ability scores and things like that. But then what I find to be the particularly fun part of that is you come up with your backstory, and I tend to go in the more detailed direction just because I get carried away. But then, very much like an improv show, once you get started, that's all the backstory. But then, once you start playing with everybody, then that's where you discover your relationships to everybody who's on the campaign with you and the people you meet along the way. And through that, the backstories that you created, they morph a little bit to fit better with what's been happening in the game, or You learn things about yourself you didn't even realize were true before. So a lot does get developed through gameplay, for sure.
Well, I'm not going to surprise either of you or you either, Val, when I say that sounds to me very much like what happens on stage during an improvised theater production by Synergy Theater players. And now, Adrian, my first thought for you in the role was dungeon master slash all the big bosses, right? Monster bosses. What role do you often find yourself identifying with when you play?
This particular game that I'm playing with Adam, I am the game master, so I play all of the roles that are not the player characters. But the other game that I'm still playing online with my friends from Mexico, I play a tiny mouse who is, he's what's called a paladin, but it's essentially a knight errant, like Don Quixote, that lives by an oath and is always out there to protect the weak, but he's also very full of himself, even though he's about 6 inches tall. He was born and raised in a noble family, and he likes to think that he's very well traveled, but he's also very protected. And so when he's out in the world, he doesn't really know anything. It's been really fun to
Wow, now I can see why you and Adam are besties, because you just by instinct went with characters that are small but have big hearts.
Yeah, that's funny. I didn't know that's the character you were playing. That's funny.
Yeah. Until now, actually, I hadn't even realized how similar our characters were.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah.
That's amazing. Okay, Adrian, for someone who has heard, oh, Dungeons and Dragons, I know that, medieval stuff. How would you explain it to someone who has heard about it but has never played?
I think the best way to explain D&D would be to explain some of its inspirations. For example, it is very, very heavily inspired by medieval Europe folklore and Tolkien, the works of Tolkien. So, like Lord of the Rings, The Hobbit, Silmarillion. D&D is very heavily influenced by these. And so, if I were to explain it, I would probably refer to those things that it is set in a, or traditionally, it is set in a world that is very high fantasy, like Lord of the Rings, medieval Europe style of a setting, although completely fantastical. But the cool thing about D&D is that it doesn't really have a setting. So you can have a D&D game that is set in modern times. And in fact, there's been many that are set in high school or are set in a futuristic world or in, out in a planet that's not Earth or many, many different ways, which I think is really clear. But if we're going traditionally, I would explain it kind of like Lord of the Rings.
Yes, I heard that many of the first versions of the game hold name for name characters from Lord of the Rings as characters that you could be in the game. Like they just pulled them. And they didn't worry about copyright because they were small at the time. But then as the game became more popular, they had to change the naming. Okay, so we have this premise. Now, how are you factoring that in and molding it to fit the premise and the practice of improvised theater? And I always ask two questions at once, and I should never do that. But what about the math?
Yes, great question. I'll start with the first question, which is how is it going to translate on stage? I am going to stick with the traditional high fantasy setting, medieval Europe inspired, and the plot itself is going to be surrounding a worldwide cataclysmic event that a group of heroes is going to take on. And it's going to be framed as a story that is being told by a popular character in D&D lore, which is called Volothamp Gedarn. It is an actual character that exists, but our show is going to be as if it were a story being told by this character so that we can tie it into D&D directly. But the story itself, will, rather than being the plot of this cataclysmic event, is going to be the story of a group of adventurers and how they relate to each other, how they grow as the story goes, and how they overcome obstacles.
Wonderful. Okay. How are audience suggestions going to factor in, or are you still developing that?
It is very much an open conversation still, but I do have some things that I think are going to happen. We're going to get suggestions at the top of the show to give some of the traits and skills of the main characters of the show as well, and this is kind of my favorite part of the whole thing, that we are going to ask the audience to roll 20-sided dice. The story is going to be affected by these rolls, which I think is really cool.
I'm so excited because Synergy Theater has done a show called A Roll of the Dice, and that's one of my favorite premises. I love that roll of the dice. I love that chance. I love doing your best and then roll the dice and see what happens. I love that whole thing. So I'm so excited that you're going to bring that in to the show. Okay, Val, your turn. And if I was going to pick a roll, a D&D roll for you, first thing that came to my mind was some kind of a ranger, a hunter, or an archer, someone who is comfortable being on their own in the wilderness, surviving, scouting, but also is a very loyal friend and family member and tribe member. That was the role that first came to me for you. Have you played Dungeons and Dragons before?
I have not, and I love that role you picked for me. That sounds great. I know almost nothing about D&D. My sons have not played it that I'm aware of. I'm kind of excited coming in as like an outsider. I'm willing to jump on board and let them take me on a journey. I'm curious about how it's going to work. Synergy has done a show with dice before, and they actually did a show, I was just reading up on it again, Myths and Magic, 2 years ago. And I was thinking, is that similar to D&D? I was going to ask Adrian. This isn't mythology, right?
There are aspects of mythology within the world of D&D, but it isn't going to be the focus of the story.
As somebody with no background, barely any, just a very passing knowledge of D&D, what would you suggest to have maximum enjoyment coming into this show? Do I need to study up on it, or what do you, Adrian and Adam, think?
I think that one of our goals for this show is to make it very accessible. A lot of the difficult parts of D&D or the things that are difficult to get used to are the mechanics. Well, how do the rules work in this game? And so we are eliminating a lot of these rules from the show, aside from this very simple concept of rolling the dice and letting the dice tell the story, so that it can be accessible and so that you don't have to go out there and read materials about D&D before you come look at the show. What do you think, Adam?
The focus of the show is really on the characters and their relationships, like all the shows we try to do. At the end of the day, the D&D part is the really fun container that's gonna hold that story, and it'll have all the references to the genre and the game that the people who love D&D will love, but it shouldn't alienate anyone who is coming in blank and ready to see a good show. It's just gonna be a fun fantasy show with some dice involved.
I anticipate it's going to be very popular because people that are fans, they're going to see this and they're going to be like, oh, yes. And also, what I'm hoping is that more people who are D&D players make the connection that, well, I love playing D&D. I wonder if I'd also love improv. And of course, the answer we would all say is, Adirad, you first. How would D&D be a gateway to someone who has a great love of D&D, plays with their friends, but has never tried improv? What would you say to them to get them to try improv?
If you've tried D&D, you are already doing improv. The only difference is that you're doing it around a table, rolling some dice. But you're already telling a story. You're already listening to each other. You're already yes-anding each other's ideas. So the only step you need to take is to go to practice improv in a setting that is not the ending because you're already doing it.
Adam, I remember having a conversation with you once about your journey into improv, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I remember that improv used to be kind of scary to you. It's not so scary anymore. You rock. What would you say to somebody who is comfortable sitting around a table with friends or online playing a Dungeons and Dragons type game and is feeling like they're too shy, they could never do improv?
You're absolutely right. The improv used to, I used to avoid it like the plague. What ultimately changed my mind about that is realizing that at the end of the day, improv is I will say first, it is an art that has to be practiced and studied, but also it's just playing make-believe with your friends. And then sometimes you go on stage and do that in front of people. But it's just fun. Everything that someone would love about the role-playing aspect of D&D, that's what improv is. Getting over the shyness factor and stage fright and things like that just takes practice, and you have to get together a group of people who want to train that muscle. And you could even get your D&D group together and start doing your role-playing scenes standing up and pretending there's an audience somewhere, just so that you're facing the right direction. Or you could take baby steps and do it for just yourselves first, or a couple of friends to watch your D&D campaign, and then eventually work up to taking a class with Synergy Theater. It's just about trusting yourself and diving in, really.
Yes, I love everything you said. Adam, as you were speaking, I was thinking about Adrian's role as a practiced dungeon master. I was thinking, oh, I wonder, okay, Adrian, how is the dungeon master role both similar and different than your new role as a director?
That is such an interesting question. I haven't thought about it, but I would say that it's similar in the sense that as a dungeon master, not only are you guiding the story, or excuse me, the setting so that the players can make a story, you're also creating an environment within the table that is easy for players to play and to take risks. And sometimes that involves giving feedback to the players in the game that Adam and myself are in now. I have done that. I have sent separate emails to the players telling, hey, this is what I'm noticing. This is what I think you could try to make your game more enjoyable. Obviously, feel free to ignore me, but here it is. And I think that is something that's very similar, of course, with directing the show. We want the cast to, number one, have a good time with this show, to enjoy it. I want to provide them resources and feedback that will help them do that. That's how it's similar. In terms of how it would be different, is that obviously, as a director, my job is not to create the setting for the players to play in. My job is simply to provide that feedback. Whereas in Dungeons and Dragons, my job is, in fact, to create that setting and to create the sandbox where the players can play and explore. And so there's a lot of preparation behind it.
I was going to make that same connection. I feel like the similarity is so much the either off the table or off stage time, where it's about setting the culture of the room and setting the expectations and giving feedback. I would disagree a little bit, though, that as a director, you're not creating the world a little bit. Obviously, not show per show, but you are setting the vision and giving us the general vibe that we're going for, which in a sense makes you the game master in that way of the show too.
That is true. I hadn't thought about it that way. Yeah, that is true.
Adrian, give us an example of feedback that you have expressed to a player and feedback that you've expressed to a Synergy Theater performer.
Adam, do you mind if I just use you as an example since we're all here?
No, please. Yeah. The feedback that I got, I understood, was also given to the other players in the game, was a lot about taking the downtime in between missions or things like that to do scenes with each other and have important relationships. And that's actually a very similar note that as a collective in the company, we give each other a lot. For every show, we're always reinforcing that we want to be focusing on the relationships between the characters. And so that's a note that has been given in both places, which is cool.
I'd say that the main feedback that I give people around the table is that, but also around the culture of the table, to be really clear with what you're comfortable with around the table. There is what we call session zero within D&D, where you sit down as a group and you discuss all of the things that are going to happen in the game and some of the options that you as a player have in order to make the game the most enjoyable so that you are comfortable playing the game and that we don't put you in a situation where you're not set up to succeed. One of the feedback, or not necessarily feedback, but more guidance that I would give players is to be very clear. So that would be one for D&D. And for the show, it's basically the same.
You sound like a fantastic dungeon master, Adam. What skills do you see that Adrian is going to bring to the table, in quotes, in his directorial role?
The session zero can either be a logistical game thing where you're finding your ability scores and things like that. But at our session zero, as soon as we were having that session, I realized how good of a Game Master Adrian was going to be because of how much intention had been put into some of these guidelines. Like he had this whole document that we went through and making sure that we had a set of community values that we were going to center our play around. And it was really important, and it helped create a space where we could all just have fun while knowing that we were going to be safe to do so. That is a skill that directly transfers to being a director of an improv show because it is a scary and vulnerable thing to get up there and have an emotionally authentic scene with somebody. It's not something that we're taught to do in everyday life. We're taught to keep our emotions in, not create conflict. It's the opposite in both improv and D&D. And it takes a really emotionally intelligent and skilled person to navigate that space for a group. And Adrian's very good at that.
You can't tell right now, but I'm blushing very hard.
I was thinking the same thing, Adrian, as you were talking about that session zero, how that is such an amazing concept. I don't know if you guys have heard this, but I heard that people aren't reading as much as prior generations. I'm wondering, what would it be like if one of your favorite authors came to you and said, okay, what kind of story would you like? And who would you like in this story? And what is the world that you would feel most comfortable or be most enthusiastic about? And you could talk to your favorite author or movie director or screenwriter and express to them, this is the story that I think the world needs now. This is the story that I want to see. Can you imagine?
I can also give you an anecdote because I've had this thought before. A few years back, there was a movie that came out that's called Rogue One. It's a Star Wars movie that starred a Mexican actor. That it was the first time that I, as a Mexican person, had seen a Mexican actor play a role that isn't specifically I am a Mexican. Because there are no Mexicans in Star Wars. And this was a leading role. He has a very heavy accent, which to me felt like what a treat to get to see someone that is exactly like me in movies. I teared up watching the Star Wars movie, which was very strange because it wasn't a tearjerker at all. But I teared up because I think it's very important to have that representation. So, to your question, if I were to be able to talk to my favorite author, I would ask them to create a story in which people are represented, where we see the real diversity of humanity rather than the picturesque, stereotypical diversity that we normally see.
Well, one of the things that I love about improv and a live audience is that if the audience is of a mind to, they can influence a story in that way. Adam, do you agree?
Absolutely. And I was just thinking too, one of the reasons why I think D&D especially has a lot of power right now is this idea where you don't have to wait for your favorite author to put the story you want into the world. You can make it. And that's true if you want to become that creative writer and do that thing, but it doesn't have to be in that kind of sphere. You can get your friends together and run a D&D campaign that tells the story you always wanted to tell. And it might not have international acclaim, but you can make a real difference in five important people's lives. And I think that's not to be underrated.
I love that. Why wait? Create the story that you want to live yourself. Val, what do you think?
Well, if anyone can create, it's Synergy Theater because all they do is create. They improvise on the spot constantly. And I'm spoiled by it. I've come to expect them, and I know how talented they are and how they can take a suggestion and build an entire show on it. Every time I go, I'm surrounded by audience members who swear that it's scripted. Nobody can believe that it's all improvised. That's the magic of Synergy. I'm dying to know, though, how is this going to work with eight shows? Is it going to be, like you say, a campaign where it's continuous, or you're planning to do a new adventure every night?
It's going to be a new adventure with new main characters.
Okay. Are you able to tell us what sort of costumes and set design you'll have?
I am thinking that the costumes from a base costume perspective are going to be tunics, medieval looking tunics with trousers that are tucked into long calf length boots so that it looks fairly generic from a basic perspective. But then there's going to be a ton of highlight pieces that people can grab as they become characters, such as 3D printed swords and staffs and helmets, armor and capes, and all of these other cool, fun things that you normally would see in a fantasy story. I went kind of crazy with my 3D printer doing these things.
Oh, that sounds so cool. Adrian, at this time, what's a concern?
Well, the original concern when I came up with the concept or the structure of the show is that it would lead to it being fairly monotonous in terms of the types of stories that we can tell, because it is constricted via this retelling of a story about a cataclysmic event. In my mind, I was like, maybe there's only so many cataclysmic events stories that we can tell. That was a big concern. So we had a preemptive rehearsal for D&D while we were running our previous show, just to test it out to see if that is a valid concern. But it turns out, and I knew this, but everyone in the cast is so talented that there is no way that we would not be able to tell many multiple and varied stories.
I was just thinking, I am the best person I know at catastrophizing, is what I call it. And not that you need, because, like you say, Synergy Theater team has got this. But if you needed any scenario in which something would go wrong, I got you. Like, hey, Sarah, if this and this, what do you think that would happen that would be unexpected and somewhat negative? Oh, man, I got you. I got you. I have to pump the brakes many, many, many times on my mental snowballing in that fashion. But what I love so much about Synergy Theater stories that they tell is I always leave the audience or the performance after being so enthralled. I always leave feeling better than I did when I came in. And that includes a somewhat dark concept, which was Alfred Hitchcock, which was arguably one of Synergy Theater's most popular shows of late. We've spoken about the importance of making those connections on stage between characters, even under a dark premise, even under a cataclysmic event. I know that the heart of humanity will be represented, not to get too deep. It is improvised theater, and there's going to be a ton of laughs. But I also know I'm going to leave feeling better about humanity than I did when I came in. Does that resonate with you, Adam?
Yeah, absolutely. If nothing else, that is certainly always our goal. If I recall the language correctly, the mission of Synergy Theater is to build a better world through the art of improvisation. So if we're doing that at least for you, then I'll call that a success.
Well, I'm not the only one based on the body language that I see and the expressions that I see on people's faces as they come in versus depart. Now, one of the best audience observers is Val, because she's nestled into the audience in her role as an, in quotes, archer or Synergy Theater photographer. Val, does what I'm saying resonate with you too?
Oh, yes, of course. I can't even think about any show where people left unhappy. Everyone is just so uplifted at the end of every Synergy show, whatever the genre is. And this one being an adventure after coming off of Law and Order, which was supposedly very dramatic, but it had its funny moments too. I was wondering, Adrian, also, do you think you'll have as much physical activity scenes, just like Adventure Serial, where there was so much running and fighting? You mentioned you're going to have weapons. How was that going to be on your show?
That is an open conversation, because there is having the weapons on stage, they're not really stage weapons. They are props that, again, I printed with my 3D printer. So, number one, they hurt when you get hit by them. And number two, we want to make sure that if we do any kind of stage fighting, that it looks good, that it is something that is well practiced, and that it isn't just stabbing at each other. But I do think there are going to be aspects and points in the play where some on stage fighting with weapons and magic.
I believe Arastu will be doing some of the original music for it. Is that correct?
That is correct. He sent us, the company, a snippet of the main theme, and I am so excited for you all to hear it. It's very, very good.
Ooh, maybe I can get an advanced copy.
I'll ask for us.
All right. So, Adrian, two questions. If you had an improv magic wand, how would you use it?
I'm going to be a little selfish with my magic wand. I'm going to say that I would love to be able to make the stage have really awesome, special, practical effects. But that's one of the concepts that I was really excited about playing with as a director, is to try to do some cool practical effects on stage, like not lighting, but more of prop effects, or show how magic would work in a physical way on stage. So if I had a magic wand, I would wave it and I would give me resources to make that.
Adam, how would you use it?
I think I'm gonna help Adrian with the special effects, so maybe he'll get advantage on that particular role.
What so far in this process, Adrian, in bringing your vision to the Synergy Theater stage, what has surprised you?
Honestly, it's not, I don't want to say it surprised me, because I know everybody in the company is very open-minded, but the reception of the concept of D&D is really warmly received by the company, which is really cool, because D&D does have a little bit of a connotation of being nerdy. And so I guess maybe in the past, I think it's a lot more popular now, but everyone's very warmly received the concept.
What would you have everyone who is thinking, maybe I'll check that out? I'll go to the Synergy Theater website and I'll see about getting myself a ticket. What would you like everyone to know at this time?
This is going to be a show that, yes, it's going to have a lot of laughs. It's going to have pretty costuming and, cross my fingers, some cool practical effects. But mostly, the show itself is going to have a heart. It's going to be a story about human relationships, even though it's set in this crazy, awesome fantasy setting. Check it out.
And Adam, what is something that you wish that everyone knew about Dungeons and Dragons that you think they probably don't know? And then what is something that you wish everyone knew but you think they don't know about improv?
One for D&D first, but it might end up being combined with improv. For D&D, I would want people to embrace how much beautiful room there is for personal storytelling and growth. There's actually a bit of an academic movement surrounding it that has talked about how D&D can be used in therapeutic ways, how it allows you to dig into your own psychological storytelling through this really fun communal game. And I would push back on some of the connotations it has about being either nerdy or, for some reason, not a worthwhile way to spend time, because it can be a really cool way to both improve community and improve yourself while having fun at the same time. I would double all of that for improv. There's so much communal wisdom and amazing art making that can come out of it. It's a shame if you miss out because you don't know that.
Val, do you have any final questions for Adam or for Adrian?
Actually, for you, Sarah, what kind of character would you be?
Oh, the first thing that came to my mind was a spider.
Spider. I could see that.
And I don't know how big of a role this spider would play, but the spider would be very much a part of the group and their biggest cheerleader. Adam and Adrian, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to Val and I. I hope you can tell Val and I are pretty excited
Very.
about what's coming. And Adrian, and I'm going to speak for Val and Adam, this is going to be epic.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it. I'm glad to be back.
Adam, any final thought or something that you want us to talk about or promote?
I'd come see Improvised Dungeons and Dragons. It's going to be awesome.
All right. You're both awesome. Val, you know you're awesome. And we will see you very soon at the Lesher Center for the Arts in Walnut Creek, California, inside the Vukasin Theater. Now, this time, I'm going to get my tickets early. I'm already a season subscriber, so I've got my season ticket, but I'm thinking I should probably get additional tickets now.
They sold out. They sold out three times for Law and Order.
They did.
Maybe four times, but if you need to get your tickets now. They're on sale now. The shows are April 3rd through the 13th. Everyone, get your tickets early.
Excellent. Thank you again, all, and have a great rest of the day.
Thanks, Sarah. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you so
much. See you soon.
Bye. Bye.